Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Listick, Behind the Curtain. As you know, my chance to step away from the worlds of politics and law that I cover on television and do something a little more fun, which is the world of entertainment. And this show is going to be one that I am so incredibly excited about that you'll be able to catch at the Cadillac Palace Theater until October 29th. It's called What a Wonderful World. For me, I'm going to call it something else. I'm going to call it the Louis Armstrong story because I am such a huge fan of Louis Armstrong that I just want everybody to know that that's who this show is about. And joining me to talk about this are two of the stars of the show, Jenny Harney Fleming and DeWitt Fleming Jr. And the fact that you are both named Fleming is not a coincidence.
No, it is not.
No.
So husband and wife.
Yes, you all are married, but getting to do the show together. Have you worked in other shows together before? Is this kind of a newer thing?
Yeah, we worked in shows that we actually met during the show called Pearl, which is about the life of Pearl Bailey. Where coincidentally Jenny played Pearl Bailey and I played her brother Bill Bailey.
Oh, I love it. As opposed to a husband, but anyway, but now you fix that in this way. You were in Color Purple, you were in Hamilton. And by the way, you were like, am I right that initially you could play any Skylar sister we needed?
Exactly. I was the one and only Universal Skylar sister. So that meant that at any time I could go to any of the US companies and play any of the three sisters in that production.
Was it always a bummer when you had to just be Aunt Peggy?
No, it was always fun. Okay. I love playing Peggy.
I love it.
Because you don't know nobody when you got this. Yeah,
it's one of everybody's favorite shows. It's just amazing. And DeWitt, you TV's Boardwalk Empire, people recognizing you from that. But you also, man, you are the master of the dance here and right, a tap dancer, and those skills are amazing. Let's talk about the roles you play in this show. For you, although the name is Lincoln Perry, that's not really the name people who know, they don't know your character by that name. What do we know your character as historically?
Historically, his name is Stephen Fetchett.
And who was he?
Stephen Fetchett was the first African-American movie star. He was just a very brilliant man. A lot of people, unfortunately, only know him by his stage name, Stephen Fetchett, and the character he played. But he was just such a brilliantly smart man. He did a lot of great things that we don't even have time on here to talk about. But I encourage anybody who thinks they know about Stephen Fetchett to go look him up, and you would be like pleasantly surprised about what he has done and how he's affected our entire entertainment industry today. It's brilliant.
And by the way, that name, Stephen Fetchett, nobody would use a name like that today, I think, to be in show business. But we have to understand that name, that character he played, goes way back, I think, the 30s, right?
Oh, even before that. I mean, he first got the name off a horse because he liked to bet on horses. And the name of the horse was called Stephen Fetchett.
Oh.
And so he took that to name his act. Yeah. And it just,
and you know, the history. I love it.
And it took off from there. Yeah.
And Jenny, you play Lil Hardin. And so you're married to Louis Armstrong. She was married to Louis Armstrong in the real world. And what's interesting, I'm going to broaden that question out a little bit, because as I understand it, I'm coming open tonight. So I'll be cheering at y'all from about the third row. But my understanding is that the show is being told from the perspective of the women in Louis Armstrong's life. That's a really unique thing to have read. So you got to explain. Let me actually look, for people who don't know who Louis Armstrong is, let me invite you to talk a little bit about who Louis Armstrong was, but then why the perspective from the women in his life.
Yeah, I mean, he was an incredible musician who absolutely turned the entertainment industry on its head, specifically at that time in our history. He is credited with being one of the people who created jazz and what jazz became, which is one of the biggest and most incredible, intricate art forms, truly American art forms to be created. We all know him as the entertainer, but we don't know about his personal life. And just the very fact that he had four wives in his lifetime is kind of interesting. And when you start to research his background and his, the different seasons of his career, the stages of his career, you start to see how each wife kind of chronicles the different stages and seasons of his career that we get to see and that we may have a recollection of when we hear certain songs or hear certain sounds or seasons of jazz, you know, from its inception to, you know, each big band and then, you know, the Hot Five. And, you know, we see different iterations of jazz and as it evolves over the century. And during those different decades, you see how his relationship with his wives influenced him as an artist in those different seasons of time, whether it was Prohibition, whether it was back in New Orleans, you know, when he first started playing and he was, you know, married to his first wife and they, you know, grew up in brothels and that whole scene and, you know, then the vaudeville era and then, you know, Hollywood and how that style of jazz was very different from, you know, even when he became popular in, on TV and film and in his later years. And, you know, it's incredible to see how those things start to parallel over the century. Yeah.
And by the way, the wife you play, Lil, I mean, she's the one most people, if we are familiar with his wife, you're kind of the one we know about.
Well, yeah, because she was also a musician and she had a career of her own prior to Louis coming on the scene. And she's the one who is credited to kind of give him his polish and teach him, you know, get him more street savvy, and not street savvy, but savvy in terms of the music scene, because she was the one of the band leaders for the Hot Five. She was the one who had the inception of the Hot Five and took Louis from King Joe Oliver's band where he was, you know, playing second trumpet and put him out front and taught him how to dress and taught him how to clean up his act, you know. And so she kind of polished him up into the professional that we started to see that you would not have seen, you know, in those New Orleans days, you know, when he was young, Buck, or he was going on the river boats and playing, you know, in those big bands that he kind of got swallowed up. She kind of pushed him to the forefront and showed him, hey, get your act together. This is what we're supposed to be doing. This is what you're capable of.
DeWitt, a lot of people think Louis Armstrong, they tie him to New Orleans because we now fly into Louis Armstrong Airport. And he certainly was a major presence in New Orleans. The truth is he had Chicago roots too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, it was hot in Chicago, you know, people, well, you know, a lot of black musicians also like to move to Chicago because they got treated. I mean, New Orleans is still part of the South, you know, so down there, you know, you don't get the same treatment you do up here in Chicago. And the money was better. So, you know, a lot of musicians from New Orleans, just from around, you know, all moved up to Chicago just for better conditions, better working conditions. And, some of the first black artists to even be able to have the rights or credit to their music was people that came to Chicago. So, you know, it's for a black person, you know, there's a reason why everybody moved up here, you know.
That's true. And by the way, Jenny, am I right? Because I think I read you were raised in New York, but I thought you had Chicago roots.
I have a sister who's raised here in Chicago, but I spent a good amount of time here when I started with the Motown tour back in 2013. We were here for about 6 months. And then when I did the Hamilton Universal thing, I was here quite often.
Gotcha. So you love this city, I hope.
Yeah, but I'm born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. Yeah.
Okay. We did a special on Motown and I interviewed Berry Gordy. And I remember when I was talking to the cast members, I mean, what a treat that was. And, you know, you just, when you do this kind of thing, you like to, you know, like, hey, Jenny, hey, DeWitt, you know. So I was asking the cast members, like, do you call him Barry? And the answer was, no, it's Mr. Gordy.
Yes.
So I didn't know what to say. I mean, I was respectful towards someone like, I just want to call him Barry, but I didn't do that. And, you know, DeWitt, the other thing is, so because you are a dancer, and which means you appreciate like any dancer, but you know, it's like, I can look at a move and you can, and like you can say, that's Bob Fosse, right? There's just certain choreographers you look at, you say, you know it. Well, let me just use that talent of yours to bring you into this music world, because is it fair enough to say when you're talking Louis Armstrong, I can hear about three notes of a trumpet. It's Louis Armstrong. Three notes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's the tone, you know, it's the quality of the sound, it's the fullness of the sound, it's the aggressiveness of the sound, and sometimes the subtlety of the sound. I mean,
the laid back, that vibrato that starts to happen. It's just clean.
Well, I can't wait. And by the way, and of course, the role is being played by James Monroe Eaglehart, who I absolutely love. Go ahead.
James is amazing. I mean, the way he takes this role and just really creates and brings us into the world of Louis Armstrong from when he was young. I mean, we're spanning six decades here, you know, and James really takes care and really, you know, shows who he was and, you know, behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, you know, and it's really, he does some beautiful work. And, you know, we're really proud and honored to be, you know, up there with him, because he's doing some amazing
work. And you give him a hug for me. I'll give you a real quick my James story. The producers of Aladdin flew me out to New York. I had not seen the show and I was going to do a special on it. They said, it. So they flew me out. And then I went backstage afterwards for a tour and whatever. And James was the genie that night. He had long left the show. And the night I was there, the one night I was there, he said, they called me to do this. He goes, I don't even know why, because the regular genie was out. The understudy was not. He said, they just asked me to do it. This has never happened.
Wow.
And I decided they did it for me.
Yeah.
that they wanted me to meet the man. Yeah. And so I got to do that and just loved him. All right. Here's a question. I don't know if it might be one of those trick questions that used to say you can or cannot answer, but does James play the trumpet in the show? Are there tricks? Or are you not allowed to say, I don't know?
No, James plays.
Mm-hmm. Plays. Oh, so we're going to be hearing him.
Yeah, you're going to be hearing him. Yeah. I mean, he's been working in our music team, Anastasia Victory and Michael, Michael Odell Mitchell.
Lord,
I mean, they the way they've taken this music and just, you know, it's so funny because I've been working in the jazz world for a long time. And so I know some of these tunes, you know.
Yeah.
But the way they do it, it's just like sometimes I'm like, wait, how did you take that?
They turn it on its head.
They just bring it, like, you know, so current,
so
but yet respect the history of the song and where it came from and its roots. I mean, they have really done some amazing stuff with this music. And so it's yeah.
Wow.
James, worked with James and, you know, brought in some teachers and trumpet players to help him, you know, because he already.
So, but I don't think he didn't play before, right? He learned it for this role.
He did play before.
Yeah.
Okay.
He did a little bit before, but he wasn't seasoned in it.
He wasn't Louis Armstrong.
Well, no. Nobody's Louis Armstrong.
That's right.
You know, but I think in order to help him along to, you know, sharpen those things, because I mean, the man works more than anybody else in this industry. So how he has time to study the trumpet, I can't even.
Oh my God. Well, let him know that the little genie things, every time there's one up on eBay and I try to bid on it, I drop out. They go for over like $4,000 when he signs them. So just if he's got one in his dressing room, tell him to bring it out. and Jenny, here's the other thing. So the show is called What a Wonderful World. And I know why. That's obviously one of Armstrong's most famous songs. However, it's one of his most famous songs later in his career. As a kid, I actually fell in love with him with Hello Dolly and his recording of Hello Dolly back in, I think, 1964, that album, the whole bit. I was a little kid, but man, I was all about that song. Is the name of the show, is the theory about let's reach younger people, let's reach a newer generation who might will only know him because of that, not even realize the history that they're going to see?
Well, my hope is that this show will do just that, will reinvigorate the younger generations to start to reinvestigate those things. People who haven't heard this music before, people, you know, who are teenagers or kids now. But I think more so the wonderful world concept has to do with how complicated the world is, you know, and still finding the beauty and the wonder in it when you are dealing with a tremendous amount of pain, when you are smiling through pain, when you are, you know, overwhelmed with, you know, fear and anxiety or whatever the different season is that you get to specifically see painted, the pictures that you see painted in this production, you know, even still, we see him, this flawed man, still rise to the occasion with a smile, still try to do, you know, bring out the best in himself for the sake of others, use his music, you know, to touch people. And that's really the biggest premise that you get, is that even though he's a flawed person that you don't really hear about until you see the story.
Yeah, I get that. And DeWitt, I'm curious, you know, like in the Michael Jackson story and MJ, if you know Michael Jackson's, the difficult parts of his past, you hear some lines here and there about it. But if you don't know, you kind of goes over, you know, goes beyond you. In this story, I know one of the things that Louis Armstrong was challenged on, because that big smile, that bright, you know, that happiness and all that kind of stuff. But then he took a lot of heat from the African-American community, who felt he was just, you know, playing to the white community and all that. Do you all address that in the show? Do we hear about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You'll hear about that in the show. We do address it. And I think Orin Esquire, our writer, does a great job of yes, showcasing it and, you know, touching on it, but not sitting in it, not like really highlighting, you know, that, but just showing you what it was and, you know, giving people perspective. You know, I mean, we're going through, like I said, 6 decades of his life, you know, and that was a very small portion of it, but a very impactful one. So we have to talk about it. But we also want to celebrate him for all the other amazing stuff he did. And I think, you know, everyone did a great job at doing that show.
And Jenny, do we have a lot of people playing lots of famous people? I mean, that man worked with everybody. He was amazing. So do a lot of famous names show up in this?
The names will show up. The names will show up. But I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised with the arc of things and the turn things take.
I think has this show changed? I think both of you have been with this since the inception. So it started in Florida, right? Ran for a little bit.
I've been with it since 2019.
I'm just sort of curious, how has it matured or changed from then till now so that we're getting the show that Broadway deserves?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely been some changes. I mean, you know, art is always evolving, you know, and as much as it is able to live and breathe, you know, you always see something different, hear something different, you know, discover something else. And as more, you know, contributors come and more people, you know, join the project who've done their own research, you know, and that's the great thing about this show, you know, all the actors and the creatives and the musicians, everyone does their own research and has a connection to this show. So they always bring something to the table. So just the sheer fact of that, it grows from that and adds new perspective in life. So every time we do it, it just gets better and better.
And you all know that most producers or people like Jerry Mitchell, you know, he's got Boop coming here. There are a lot of people who want to try their show out pre-Broadway right here in Chicago, because you know, and I know, Jenny, you can attest to this, we got the best audiences in the world here. Theater sophisticated audiences.
Absolutely. Really do. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love playing Chicago. Yeah. You always get such a great mix of people. People who know theater, but also aren't so out of touch. You know what I mean? They're really earth people, but they know quality theater when they see it.
Yeah, I think absolutely. DeWitt, you familiar with the Garrett's Caramel Cheese Corn mix that's just going to be down the street?
Well, I've played Chicago a few times, and unfortunately, I'm allergic to corn, so I haven't. You know, I indulged when I was here with Cirque du Soleil in 2010. But after that, I said, okay, I can't, because this is too good. I'm going to end up going to the hospital.
Oh, my. Well, then, can you at least get, like, Lou Malnati's pizza? Can we get that in you?
Yeah, I've tried that, too. It's been a while. It's been a while. But, you know, I will say we live in New York, so, you know, that's a tough battle
Tough battle.
It is. But however, I do have a place for you to go for some New York style pizza here too. We got it all here. So don't be sure. Well, it's so wonderful that you guys are going to spend, it's such a short run here, but I guess that's enough for producers, directors, choreographers, yourself, because you are one of the choreographers, to just kind of work some things out in front of our audiences for a couple of weeks.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's just like Jenny said, the audiences here are great. They're so knowledgeable. And they know their music, you know, they know jazz and they know Louis, you know, they know Little Harding, you know. So it's exciting to get in front of an audience who knows and who, you know, will appreciate it and respond, you know, how they will respond. I mean, we're waiting to hear it and hear their thoughts and, you know, see how they feel. So we're excited.
And, you know, there is such a big jazz community here and a blues community here that I just, they're going to fill the house every night, taking seats away from me to just really enjoy and get into this music. And by the way, just before, I want to run out of time here, but I'm assuming that people who love Louis Armstrong music will get our fill, right? We're going to hear the songs we want to hear.
Oh, yeah. You're going to hear the songs. And like I said, some of them are reimagined from what, you know, Michael Mitchell and Anastasia Victory have done with this music. I mean, it gives you another reason to love the music, you know. I mean, it's already perfect on its own. But then they you know, take something that's perfect and put a little even more on it. And it just brings, you know, if you weren't a jazz fan before, you're probably going to be one after this show. I mean,
And you have me so excited to see James now that I know that it's not trickery and he's going to be playing that trumpet and all that. And I've seen some pictures of him getting it because, you know, I mean, I get where they could cast him looks wise and stuff. But no, he's doing the right. He shaved that beard he had. I mean, so he's doing some things to make this work. I'm just so excited for you guys. I'm so excited to see this show. It is playing at the Cadillac Palace Theater until October 29th. Ain't gonna be no extensions because you guys are going on to Broadway. So people have to go to BroadwayInChicago.com now and get those tickets. And DeWitt, I'm so glad you get to perform together, and I hope you get along because I would not want to go home afterwards with both of you if there are issues like that. But you know, oh, and Vanessa Williams producing it. Have to do a shout out to Vanessa.
Oh, shout out to Vanessa. Chris Renshaw is directing it. We got the Ricky Tripp, you know, doing choreography.
It is amazing. I wish both of you luck. I'm going to get cut off here. We're going to wish both of you luck. Thank you. Break legs every night. I'm going to see you on opening night. I'll bring some Garrett's, but not for you, DeWitt. And we're gonna.
I have two coins. Two.
Okay. All right. Y'all take care. Y'all take care. Bless you. Have a great run here in Chicago. Break legs every night.
Thank you, Paul. You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye.